Radio Prague News.
The defense minister has suggested that the number of Czech soldiers serving in Kosovo could be reduced, but the number in Afghanistan would be bolstered. The state-owned Czech Railways has landed a record fine of 4.5 million crowns for dirty conditions in passenger cars. A Czech newspaper has reported that a former museum head secured a luxury state-owned apartment under mysterious circumstances shortly after he was dismissed. Defense Minister Alexander Vondra has suggested that the number of Czech soldiers serving in Kosovo could be reduced under plans he'll present to the government, while the number serving on the ISAF mission in Afghanistan would be bolstered. He made a statement on Friday after meeting with Czech President Václav Klaus, making clear soldiers were no longer as needed in Kosovo. The Czech Republic has around 500 personnel there, and the number could be reduced by around 50. The defense minister made clear Afghanistan would remain an important priority for the next 3 years. NATO has asked for an increase in military and police units in the Islamic Republic to train local security. The Czech Republic has around 530 personnel in the South Central Asian country. Czech Railways has been fined 4.5 million crowns over the first six months of the year for dirty conditions in trains, the news website Deník.cz reported on Friday. The Czech Rail Safety Inspectorate fined the state-owned carrier nearly 1 million crowns. The rest were penalties imposed by the Transport Ministry. Czech Railways was only fined for the state of express train passenger cars subsidized by the state. Additional penalties were handed out by regions. A Czech Railway spokesman said that more than half of the problems for which the firm was fined were caused by vandalism. The Czech daily Mladá Fronta Dnes has reported that the former head of the National Technical Museum in Prague, Horimír Kubíček, secured a luxury on-site state-owned apartment with an open-ended lease shortly before his dismissal in August. The newspaper writes the matter was discovered through an audit ordered by the culture minister, Jiří Besser. Auditors have declined to comment the findings so far, as has Mr. Kubíček. The former National Technical Museum head was recalled from his post last month over financial impropriety. As museum head, he rented the 112-square-meter apartment for 4,000 crowns a month, the newspaper said, a location that would have fetched 10 times that amount. Shortly after he was recalled, his original contract reportedly disappeared and was replaced by a copy with addenda placing the property in his name indefinitely. The head of Czech police, Oldřich Martinů, will have to lay off 30% of employees at the police presidium by the end of the year, Pravo reported on Friday. That would mean jobs lost for some 600 people. The police president was reportedly told this week by Interior Minister Radek Jón to take the step, and the police head will have 10 days to decide which employees to let go. The Interior Minister himself told Pravo that while it was a radical measure, it was one that was needed as funds for basic items were needed elsewhere. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Coming up on today's show, the Czech Environment Minister dismisses criticism over Temelín's environmental impact report. We'll discuss some changes to Radio Prague's audio format, and in today's arts, we talk to the director of a new documentary exploring an underside of sex.
Freedom is our greatest art, and people from SM scene, I think, know it because they really play with the freedom and limits.
I hope you'll stay with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. The Czech Environment Ministry dismissed on Friday criticism voiced by a number of Czech NGOs over an environmental impact report for the construction of two new blocks at the Temelín nuclear power plant in southern Bohemia. Critics say that the study is incomplete, but most importantly, that the environmental impact assessment process is in breach of EU law. Jan Richter has the story.
The right-of-center Czech government considers the development of nuclear energy one of its strategic priorities. In June, the new coalition announced it would push for the construction of two new blocks at the Temelín nuclear power plant in southern Bohemia. The 500 billion crown tender, which includes another three possible reactors, has been dubbed the contract of the century. Shortly after, the Czech Environment Ministry published a report on the project's environmental impact, known as EIA. On Thursday, several Czech NGOs, including the Czech branches of Friends of the Earth and Greenpeace, slammed the study. They say it's incomplete in that it fails to justify the need for the two new blocks, ignores the issues of radioactive waste, and does not give any details about the planned reactors. Also, the study ignores the so-called zero alternative. Martin Sedlák is a member of Friends of the Earth.
The main trouble in the documentation of new power plant in Temelín is there isn't any alternative. That means there isn't a zero option. We are thinking the power in new nuclear power plant to nuclear reactors must be compared with potential green energy. That means potential new renewable sources and with effectivity in housing and industry.
Even more importantly, activists say the EIA process itself is in breach of EU law. Under pressure from the European Commission, the Czech Republic amended its law on the assessment of environmental impact, which now gives more rights to the parties concerned. But the process concerning the new blocks at Temelín is proceeding in accordance with the previous law. Radko Pavlovec is Nuclear Issues Commissioner of Upper Austria's regional government.
Zákon EIA, podle kterého toto posouzení probíhá, je v rozporu s evropským právem.
The act on EIA under which the project is being assessed is in violation of European law. This is not an assumption of mine. This is implied in the ruling of the European Court of Justice from June the 10th, 2010, which said that it breached the EU directive number 80337.
But the Czech Environment Ministry says that the report compiled by the plant's operator, the state-owned energy giant ČEZ, is sound and that the process will continue. Petr Kučera is a spokesman for the ministry.
Documentation considered by the Ministry of the Environment meets all of the required requisites and has been circulated on June 29, 2010 for publication and expression to all concerned parties, for example, local government units, relevant administrative authorities, and potentially affected states. To date, we have not received any comments from the states, so to speak, it is very premature.
The concerned parties, including the governments of Germany and Austria, have until the 30th of September to voice their objections. If the Czech government manages to clear them away, the contract should be awarded in 2011 and construction may begin in 2013.
That was Jan Richter with that report. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, broadcasting around the world over shortwave, on the internet, and via satellite. I'm Christian Falvey. Now, come Monday, our sharp-eared regular listeners are sure to notice a change in our program right from the beginning in the form of a new news jingle. That's just one of a few new changes to Radio Prague's audio format. As of Monday, several of our programs will have new signature tunes, and the way we use other music and copyrighted sounds in our stories and features is going to be a bit different. Now, to tell you why change is in the air, I'm joined here in the studio by Radio Prague's editor-in-chief, Gerald Schubert. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, we've been using the same signature tunes for how long?
To be honest, I don't know. We changed it, I think it might have been about 4 or 5 years ago, but I'm not really sure now.
So in any case, a lot of listeners are surely feeling at home with the way our programs sound. So why are we making these changes right now?
Well, actually, I think from time to time you should do some changes in what we call sound design in order to stay alive. Changes are life, so I think it's normal to do that. But basically, there was now... more important reason, it has something to do with copyright law. It's quite an interesting phenomenon that legislation always a little bit lags behind the technical development. So when laws were made concerning copyright, people didn't really think about the meaning of the internet in radio that time. That means that, for instance, if you have the copyright, if you can use jingles, because you kind of bought them, somebody composed them, so you are allowed to use them on air, you are allowed even to use them on the internet in streaming, even in live streaming, but actually if you don't really own the jingles, you can't use them for downloading or offer them for downloading, and this is actually the main reason
why
we changed.
Have quite a lot of podcasts.
We have downloads. Quite a lot of podcasts actually, and we have this main product, which is our 27 or 29 minutes news show a day. We'll be back for podcast again after the changes next Monday.
So in terms of not just jingles, but other music, we're not going to be using music in general in the same way as we did before, for example, to kind of like set a mood for certain topics. So can you give me like a brief description of what the rules are going to be?
Let me explain it in an example. For instance, the famous composer Gustav Mahler for some years lived in the town of Jihlava in the Czech Republic, in nowadays Czech Republic. And if you do a story about Gustav Mahler, you can use Gustav Mahler clips, Gustav Mahler audios, because you really talk about him. So you kind of, with the sounds, you illustrate the person of Gustav Mahler and how he was as a composer. If you do a story, a feature about... As the English department, for instance, does it in the feature Spotlight. If you do a story about Jihlava, about the town, then it would be very nice to have Gustav Mahler illustration sounds for Jihlava as well. But you can't do that because you can do it for on air. You can broadcast that. You can offer that for live stream, but you can't offer that for podcast because law was not ready to take that into account. So actually, it is not in the regime of what we call ukázka, which is something in Czech like to show, to illustrate something
sample.
By showing something. Example, exactly. Yeah. So that means that this is actually the main reason why we want to put back on the website the possibility to download the whole news show, and we can only do it if we accept these rules.
Well, copyright law in general is a hot issue in the internet age, and I fully expect we're going to have listeners writing in to say that we've erred on the side of caution and musicians and laws be damned. So what will we say to them?
Well, the other possibility is to cut out music and sound from the podcast, and this is not a very nice way to prepare service for our listeners. We think that the meaning of internet download and podcasting will increase and increase. And so we want to offer the most beautiful program, which doesn't conflict with the law, even in this channel, which is, I think, quite important in terms of developing into the future of radio. So we think this podcasting should be okay, and it should be beautiful, and it should be it should respect the law. So I think it should be a nice podcasting, another podcast where we cut out some music because it's not allowed to be there.
Okay, Gerald Schubert, Radio Prague's editor-in-chief, thanks for joining us. Now, I happen to have another guest here at the microphone, none other than our own Chris Johnstone, who joins me with the week's business news.
US internet search giant Google has gone onto the attack in the Czech Republic by launching a local ad campaign to boost its lowly position. The campaign, Love from Paris, shows how a young Czech student finds the love of his life, marriage and eventually fatherhood, thanks to Google searches about the French capital and language. The Czech Republic is the only one of five countries worldwide where the US-based search engine is not in number one position. Pole position is taken by Seznam, which according to some calculations is used by 60% of people for internet searches, with Google chosen by just 20%.
Staying with the US, Czech tire maker Česká gumárenská společnost has announced a $44 million investment in the home of the farm tractor, Iowa's Charles City. The company is committed to building a tractor tire plant that will eventually roll out over 12,000 tons of tires a year there and employ around 260 people when it is fully running in 2012. Global demand for tractor tires has recovered in the first 6 months of the year after a serious puncture in 2009. Charles City's Charles Walter Hart is credited with coining the word tractor after he launched mass production there at the start of the 20th century.
The Czech National Bank forecasts that local banks will see their ratio of problematic business loans rise to 10% by the middle of next year from around 8.5% now. That forecast is based on the bank's current prediction of steady but unremarkable 1.6% economic growth this year. The proportion of so-called non-performing household loans should rise to 5.5% from the current 4.5%. The central bank's crystal ball gazing forms part of its stress tests to work out how resistant banks would be if the going gets tough or really tough.
And staying with the central bank, it has teamed up with the Ministry of Finance to get a clearer picture of Czech's financial literacy, with the results set to be made public in November. A previous survey in 2007 did not give very encouraging results, with half of the respondents admitting that their ignorance or lack of understanding prevented them from making use of some financial services. That survey also suggested half the population could not pinpoint the inflation rate within a 5 percentage point margin of error, and a fifth of the population could not properly calculate the compound costs of taking out a loan.
And finally, a survey has put Prague as the second most attractive business location in Central and Eastern Europe. The Czech capital lags only behind Vienna in the survey by consultants Roland Berger. Prague got high marks for its public transport, cultural environment and education, but scored poorly on healthcare and pollution. The latest survey confirms the findings by real estate company Cushmond & Wakefield last year, which ranked Prague as the most attractive location out of all the cities in the former Eastern Bloc.
Many thanks to Chris Johnstone. And now, concluding our program, I present you with the arts. Thursday saw the premiere of a new documentary on HBO Czech Republic by respected filmmaker and cameraman David Čalek. Called Heaven Hell, the film was aired as part of HBO's Bez Censuri, Without Censorship series, tackling issues rarely examined on the big or small screens. Heaven Hell is a year-long look into the lives of four people deeply involved in BDSM, that is, bondage, domination, and sadomasochism. Director David Čalek stopped by the Czech radio building this week. Jan Wellinger began by asking him whether it was difficult to persuade his subjects to take part in the film.
You can say the journey to the rabbit hole wasn't so difficult that I expected in the beginning. I was really unsure that we can really talk with people about their sexuality openly, because what is happening in the bed, what really happening in the bed, nobody talks about. And these people open for me this Pandora box, and this was before I start filming, and later we came to this subject also in front of the camera, and some of very personal point of view or happenings are in the film.
Was it important to you as a filmmaker that their fetishes were also very different, to sort of show not only their fetishes but also their personal lives were very different?
Actually, the fetishism is one of the main bridge about our world and their world. Because everybody likes, every man likes car, every woman likes jewelry, and everybody has his own fetish, which guides his unconscious life and feelings. And sometimes I have this feeling that maybe fetishism itself is engine of our society, of modern Western society. A reason why the people buy things they don't need it, really.
Every object in an advertisement, it can be fetishized, or a woman, or a
and
man.
I think the advertising company count with it and use it. The people in BDSM community just works with the fetish, but not unconsciously like us. They use it to be somebody else for a while, to make different personality for 2 hours in Domina's studio. Sometimes they change really to the opposite, that somebody who is in the head of big society and is chief of many people, then he eats from like a dog in the floor, and he do just opposite what he does in his normal life. And the fetish is something what takes us to the rabbit hole.
You have limits in showing what you could show.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the reality is more brutal than what you could possibly show in the film.
Yes, yes. I think reality is much more than we saw in a film. But if you do your work, you are more used to it, and you are less sensible to something what is maybe rude or strange or whatever for people who don't know about your work. It's same here. It will be very shocking and maybe not good for the film itself to show some scene which will maybe take some people out of the of the cinema. It's difficult to answer. Yes, there is many shots which wasn't used in the film, and with my editor we were very careful to the frontier what use and what don't use, because after a year of filming these people and editing this film, I am not like the audience. I am more involved in the community and practice what they say, what they do, and I must be more careful. And I think it's same for the audience, that we cannot show, we must just give an example. We are talking about different life and different point of view and different maybe freedom for these people. But it's not film which will shock the audience and the people who are seeing it. Uh-huh. It's not the purpose of the film.
But to me, it seems like a drug, and that you have to, once you go deeper and deeper, it is a drug. And in fact, it can't have a happy ending.
You know, everybody is different. So somebody who goes to the pub every week, he can stay in the level of 5-6 beers, and he's not going further. But somebody goes further and takes more beer and more alcohol, and then is alcoholic, and he must go to hospital. So it's same thing with sexuality. If you are strong enough to stay in position when you are not the slave of SM scene, which makes me laugh, but you are master of yourself, and if there is sexuality or drugs or anything else, and you are not free, you are not guiding yourself, somebody is guiding you, then it's end of life, I think, because freedom is, I think, most and greatest art we have, and people from SM scene, I think, know it, because they really play with the freedom and limits, and when you play with these intimate things and very dangerous subjects, you must be careful, and I think these people are really very, very free people I met. I cannot speak generally, but I think position when you say I am deviant to the society where is deviant very rude word, it's a kind of freedom.
And I wanted to ask you if there were to your knowledge, other films or filmmakers who were working in the field. I could only think of one that I'd seen, which was Nick Broomfield, and he did this film Fetishes in the 90s, but he, as far as I remember, took a more sort of sensationalistic approach, which is what you didn't want here. Is anybody else in the Czech Republic working in film on similar subject like this one, to your knowledge?
I heard about film you meant, but I don't know any documentary or feature about this topic, which was the first what we try to search for.
What has the feedback been like? People have responded, I'm sure, have sent you emails or written letters.
I was most surprised which kind of people give me some feedback or write me an email or SMS. It wasn't people who are in that scene, who are very often, it was people they have normal life, family, children, and they say that it helps them to see their own life in different light, and this really gives me joy that it wasn't waste that my three heroes opened their sexual intimacy.
That was director David Čalek ending our program for today. Check up on us online at radio.cz for more news and features. But for now, from me, Christian Falvey, and all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye.